It's fear.
Hello?
Have you checked the children?
They're all pods, all of them.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
I'm afraid!
Don't be afraid!
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Here's Gingy.
Pain has a face. Allow me to show it to you. Gentlemen, I am pain.
I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face. The blackest eyes. The devil's eyes.
You think that when you die, you go to heaven. You come to us.
Guy, if he can't take a joke, he stinks.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.
It's Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Horror. I am Daniel Shine, joined, as always, by Todd Loya and Pugs Dread. Gentlemen, how goes your evening?
Namaste.
Dan, you really got to learn how to use your damn mute button. You're making this a nightmare for me.
What? What'd I do?
You move around the whole intro and it just makes a fucking mess.
If it was on mute, what does it matter?
Because you don't know how to fucking hit mute.
I'm confused. It was on mute. You couldn't have heard anything.
It was not on mute. I muted it.
Oh. Okay.
And then I unmuted it, and you started doing fucking backflips in your chair.
I didn't do a backflip. Do you see how fat I am? You think I can do a fucking backflip?
Like you're doing
not Keith Lee, goddammit.
It sounds like you're doing some goddamn backflips. I'm just telling you.
Goddamn. Well, I can do it.
He tells me how much of a young man he is and all this other bullshit. Doesn't have to fucking use a mute button.
Because you do it.
No, I don't. Pugs, do I do it for you?
No, I mute myself. I'm special.
Well, you're not special. Like, you're not dead special.
I'm going to do a fucking moonsault on this show next week.
Go for
I'm
it.
Just going to set it up, and I'm going to fucking hit one.
I'm just going to tell you right now, Dan, we could restart this show if you want. I don't care, but...
I don't give a shit. You said I can do a moonsault, so, I mean, I appreciate that.
I'm just giving you the out for me just, like, talking shit out the gate, because that wasn't my goal. I thought I had it all out.
But seriously,
stop moving in the... Learn how to use mute.
I used to do a good flying elbow. I didn't do a good moonsault.
Because when we started, because I have to control his mute, Dan started talking, and we couldn't hear him. So if you want to know why the intro was not correct and Dan came in partway, because he does not know how to use a mute button. So you go. So welcome to the insanity. Shut up, Dan. I'm talking. Welcome to the insanity for tonight. I guess we're already getting off on a good start. So hello.
What's up, y'all?
Hello, Pugs. Hello, Dan.
What up, Dan? What up, Dan?
I already Flesh said movers? Hello to both of you before Dan, Todd had his period.
Remember, I'm the sheriff of this goddamn town. All right.
Okay.
There, I feel better now.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking Nicolas freaking Cage, so this all makes sense.
It's a little crazy every now and again.
I feel like I could be in a bar with Nicolas Cage and one of us would challenge the other to do a moonsault and it would happen.
I would Mine go to Cage.
Planet Dan. All I know is if this is your first show, I'm sorry.
I could hit a Terry Funk moonsault, but you know.
Okay. That's impressive.
But anyway.
I'm going to watch Dan die live in the ring trying to do that shit tomorrow.
It's going to look like a Vader moonsault.
It's going to look like a Sid Vicious leg drop. Come on.
Ooh, yeah.
I could, you know, landing on
I could have. I could have went with the Brock Lesnar one, but this isn't SCS, so. Anyway. WrestleMania 20, was that?
You know how that reference is relevant to Nicolas Cage? it is relevant because Nicolas Cage was initially attached to star in The Wrestler before Mickey Rourke.
I so want to see that version.
I do not fucking know that.
No, you did not?
I did not. We have been robbed.
Too, I believe.
Mickey Rourke was awesome. Oh, he must
Oh, no. It looks like he pulled out at like literally the last minute. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. Cage must be pissed since that got him a gold statue.
Well, no, he pulled out. I mean, and I think it was because he just didn't think he could accurately portray a wrestler. Especially like an 80s wrestler.
I know. How could Nick Cage portray an over-the-top 80s wrestler? It just seems impossible to fathom.
Oh, the body, though.
Nicolas Cage as a tiny Sid Vicious. That'd be fucking amazing.
I was also being sarcastic since he's over the top. Not that over the top.
Can we take over? Imagine? We're live, pal.
He would have absolutely done the WrestleMania match if it was
him. He roids up and like comes out like Big Papa Pump. That would be awesome in that movie.
Oh my god, just seeing Nicolas Cage scream Big Bad Booty Daddy.
You know what? If they're doing that Hemsworth Hogan movie, can we please get Cage as McMahon? I'd be so happy with that.
Pronouns, pal. It's gotta happen. It's gotta happen.
All right. Well, at least we kept it with Cage in our non horror talk. So, but we do have some horror on the show for you guys too.
Yeah, we are. We are. We're kind of kicking it off with a sort of horror.
The first one's definitely walks the line. So
yeah. Definite horror elements in this one.
You can say that about the next one too. Not, but we'll get to that. So, Dan, please tell us about Drive Angry 3D.
All right. Drive Angry 3D is a Nicolas Cage film from 2011 and director Patrick Lucier. In this high-octane action adventure, Drive Angry, Nicolas Cage stars as Milton, an undead felon who breaks out of hell to avenge his murdered daughter and rescue her kidnapped baby from a band of cult-worshipping savages. Joined by tough-as-nails Piper, the two set off on a rampage of redemption, all while being pursued by an enigmatic killer who has been sent by the devil to retrieve Milton and deliver him back to hell. All right, so I feel instead of William Fichtner, who is a great, great character actor who never gets the respect he deserves, it should have been Amber Heard in the retrieval role. Because we know she beats up on A-listers, so I think she would have been very believable throwing Cage around.
Allegedly. Back in 2011, or even now, she can kick my ass anytime she wants. Mira, I'm here for you.
All the boys still love Mandy Lane.
I will straight up say, fuck you, Johnny Depp, if you need me to.
Yeah.
Well, they better love her. Yeah, you know, just boom, right in the kisser.
I'm a big guy. I can take a punch.
Wow, Dan. Did Dan just literally advocate domestic abuse?
Taking it upon ourselves, actually hitting a bitch.
You missed. No, don't I didn't say that. I said she. They better love her, or she will. It was a reference to that.
Okay. That's not the way I took it.
Roll the tape, Todd. God damn it!
We have the instant replay for this. Yes,
but well, the listeners know what I meant. All right. So
what he really meant, we know.
So, anyways, all right. Well. I first want to say this is kind of getting to the end of Nicolas Cage's, you know, A-list run as far
as still an A-lister. Come on.
Well, in our hearts, he will always be. But this was really one of the last. I think Season of the Witch came right after this, and that totally.
That I did not watch, so I am part of the problem. You should.
We'll put it on the next list. I mean, hey, Nick Cage, Christopher Lee. You know, but this was probably his last big movie. And I don't know what people's problems were with this, because this should have been a huge hit. This movie has everything you could want, from the gore, nudity, Nicolas Cage just being a badass and doing an entire fight scene while inside of a girl. This movie is so freaking cool.
Question, Mr. Dan. Do you prefer this sex scene shootout? Or what was that movie with... oh, shit. What's his name? It's like Bugs Bunny. He eats a carrot all the time. Eric Bana.
Oh, Crank?
Not Crank. Eric Bana. He was... Shooter. Or shoot him. Oh, okay. Shoot him up.
Shoot him up. You mean Clive Owen.
Clive Owen. My bad.
There Poor you man's go, yeah. Eric Bana.
which do you prefer?
He was almost Bond, man. Shoot 'em Up is an insanely underrated movie that was mismarketed. It was just mismarketed.
Well, okay, see, how come you know that, but you don't know Drive Angry was completely mismarketed, and that's why it flopped? You can recognize it in one and not the other.
I'm getting there. I'm saying it.
You started this discussion with, I don't know how Drive Angry wasn't a hit.
Well, it was marketed more, if I recall, as an action movie, just a straight action movie. Which really probably should have worked. I mean, it still worked.
I think that was the problem. At that point, no one was like, I need a new Nicolas Cage action movie. We're like 15 years out of like Face Off, The Rock, and Con Air. So at that point...
How far was this from Ghost Rider? It was not too far, right? Maybe like a couple years?
Yeah, it was within that timeline.
So that bad taste was probably still in their mouth. Because it looked like it could be, minus the skull head and the flaming stuff. It looks like it could be a good companion piece with the Ghost Rider movie. So maybe that deterred people.
It could be. He had a lot of Bangkok Dangerous and a lot of action stuff that just didn't hit like it did in the past.
If this was marketed what it was, I think it would have done better. Like at least I paid no interest to it when it was out theatrically from the trailers. It wasn't until... I heard post check it out, you'll like it, and I did. And this is a movie that was in 3D I had no interest in.
That's weird.
I love the 3D.
So I'm the only one who saw it in theaters then.
Did I see it in theaters? No, I didn't. Yeah. Yes, you are.
Yeah, well there you go. What did you think when you finally did see it, Pugs? I assume all of you saw this before. Well,
I did feel like I missed out on the theater. Now that you bring that up, I really wish I would have saw it. Cause, yeah, this is a goddamn good time with Amber Heard's gorgeous. So I'm like, that's just eye candy. And then Nicolas Cage, and she's a tough girl beating up the mean writer.
Armor.
Yeah.
Well, you know we know she has it in her.
Yeah. See, she take it on. Yeah. But yeah, dude, Nicolas Cage dressed all in black, going around kicking ass. And there's like some devil's spiritual stuff going on. I fucked up. I should have saw this in theaters. It was really fucking fun.
I feel you with that one, definitely.
Man. Yeah, I really, really dug it.
It's a great double feature with the Peter Fonda film Race with the Devil or Race the Devil. I keep forgetting, but fantastic Peter Fonda flick from back in the 70s.
I hate to say it, but this blows that away. I'm sorry. I like Race of the Devil, too.
Yeah, well, that's a really Warren Oates, really great movie. But, yeah, good double. I mean, if you prefer this, end with it. But, yeah, I mean, this is a tailor-made film for Nick Cage, too. Like, this one, he enhances it. Although, there are moments where, I mean, it's – you know, he's a little more subdued in a weird sort of way. He's not the movie's over the top. So, you know, I don't think he really has that I'm a vampire moment, which we'll get into in a little bit.
I think Nicolas Cage is a fantastic actor. I think it is up to the director to reel him in. It's like, this is what I need. As long as you coach him, he will always give 100%. So it's on the director to just, you know, mold him in. Because if you let him out on the loose, like we're going to talk about later on, it goes crazy.
But yeah, no, I still feel there's a lot of people that haven't watched this that might have just looked at the cover and thought, oh, another Nick Cage direct-to-DVD film, which, you know, again, basically a couple years after this, he was in that era. And you know, Cage is riding kind of a comeback now. He's made some of his most interesting movies. Mom and Dad, Mandy, Color from the Dark. I mean, or Color Out of Space.
I have to stop you on that. I think he's made his most interesting genre pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. There's a ton of great Nick Cage movies. I've heard so many people shit on Nick Cage over the years, and I'm just like, dude, look at his filmography. There are a lot of awesome movies.
Here's the thing. Full Cage did not get the love until recently. Before that, it was seen as a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had a hard... Well, we'll get to the Con Air one, but I had a hard time with that one for a long time.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Yeah.
All right. Oh, man. The claws are going to come out. So, Drive Angry, man. If you haven't seen it, it's funny. It's gory. Yet it's raw. It's nudity. Stuff that you're just not going to see now. And yeah, I'll give it to Amber Heard.
I'll give it to Amber Heard.
I guess she was in Aquaman, so she's doing quite well still. But
she was in Aquaman.
Yeah. Having a little bit of a rough patch now. Right here now. Shoulder to cry on.
Or a lap. I highly recommend this one. I felt the lead villain who's in a lot of stuff. He's always good. I felt they could have used a nastier villain. I felt he could have,
I think that the fact he wasn't a super nasty villain kind of helps the ending. I think it would have been too on the nose if it was just like, I think the choice really worked for the.
You could be right.
Yeah, but that's just me. So
I'm going to counter argue.
Ooh.
With John Travolta.
Well, he
is basically in a cult, so it works.
Maybe that's why he didn't want it was too close.
Okay, well, John Malkovich then. Either one. Mean Rains.
Dave Chappelle.
Yes. Oh, they could have switched it up to like a voodoo type thing.
Yes. Drive Angry too. Bring Chappelle back. I would be all over that shit. Yeah. All right. So, gentlemen, what do you rate it, Pugs?
I am going 5. It's just too good not to. And if you haven't seen it, it comes with the highest recommendation. It is just a good time.
Yeah. Great popcorn flick. What say you, Todd?
5.
Yep. I'm a 5 as well. So, before we go into our next film, I have a very brief show and tell. Which shows you
how big. Oh, Jesus, Dan. Put stuff off to your left and right.
Well, I have headphones on.
So we don't need to see up your goddamn nose.
All right. So they actually make these. This is a Nicolas Cage shirt, and I'm going to do my best to get it all in frame. It's just a bunch of photos of him. Right, there's like funny.
Is that Cage, Mona Lisa?
Yeah, Mona Lisa. There's Cage as E.T. somewhere here. It's front and back. Some of them, I'm not even sure. Spider-Man, I don't know if that's just on this side.
Are any of them in blackface? Is the shirt canceled
now? No, nothing like that.
Not the one Dan's going to show on air.
That would not be good. They also make, and I bought these, Nicolas Cage pillowcases.
Getting
the quote on there. And despite my rage, I am still just Nicolas Cage.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then this one, which is the creepiest one. Instead of getting in there. Just a pride flag? I guess that's essentially what it is. I still ordered it because, like, fuck, dude. It's Nicolas Cage. That's awesome.
This is kind of amazing that you have all this. Where's your Jean-Claude Van Damme bullshit?
I don't think they make Jean-Claude Van Damme pillowcases. Of course they don't. I'm going to write the company, man. There should be. So, all right.
I think I know what named Dan for Christmas.
Todd. Oh, shit. If they have it, I know what I'm getting Todd for Christmas. Holy shit. It's going to happen.
If you want to waste your money, that's fine.
Kickbox. I'm going to have like an entire Van Damme backdrop for the show. I bet they did a cardboard cutout.
It's funny because that's the same week your feed's not going to work.
Oh, that's messed up.
It just happens. I can't control the internet.
Fucking Todd. All right. So we'll get to this next film, which could get Todd, I think, double bitch slapped if he says anything bad about this one. Well, never mind.
I was going to say...
Well, Dan's
confused. See,
you might Danny, still get bitch slapped.
Dan needs to get double bitch slapped for fucking up his fuck up.
Fucking up his fuck up?
Yeah, you can't even talk. You just did it. You do it constantly.
All right. So our next film is from 1989, some early Cage, from director Robert Blurman, Vampire's Kiss. Teetering on the edge of sanity, volatile literary agent Peter Lowe, played by Nick Cage, tries to find purpose in his life through a cutthroat work ethic and a hedonistic nightlife. But when an encounter with the mysterious beauty leaves Lowe convinced that he's turning into a vampire, his behavior turns positively outrageous. Okay, so basically, this entire film is just Nick Cage abusing his secretary. it's like the whole movie. Bugs, what did you think about Vampire's Kiss? Was this a first-time watch? Because this is one I feel like a lot of people have heard of but never really sat down to watch.
This was a first-time watch where I actually paid attention. So, like, a lot of my friends like this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was always on Channel 5, I believe, growing up. I've seen it here and there, but I never sat down and watched the whole thing. So this was technically a first time viewing. It's okay. I wasn't thrilled. I liked parts a lot, but as a like certain parts throughout the movie are really cool. But as a whole journey, I did not care for any of the leading female roles. I know that I just don't swing that way. I don't play in the mud. I swing that way. But, like, Dan, this seems like it's up your alley, so good for you. But I did laugh my ass off when – oh, go ahead.
Don't let him do it. Keep going. Don't give him the opportunity.
All right, I won't catch him.
Pugs so is black.
He beat me to it.
That's why he can make that joke.
You know what, Dan? That's how racist Dan is. He like has to like
want to get in trouble for it.
He sees color, so he has to tell everyone you're black because that's all he does is see color.
At least he says black on air, not the other one.
I know that's true.
You were saying, Fugs. God damn it, Todd.
I forgot.
God but damn it, yeah. Todd. It's always me.
Yeah, it's fine. I like when Nicolas Cage goes full Nicolas Cage in the movie, and that's. Pretty much that's the highlight of it. Yeah.
It's the whole movie.
Yeah. No, the certain part where he's just yelling, I'm a vampire. What he's saying.
My favorite is
the plastic teeth.
I will tell you, this is probably the first time I really watched it, also. And I was just sitting there on my couch amazed. Like, what am I watching? I am so confused. But yet, I kind of want to keep watching. It was weird because it was rough, but I was still like really fascinated with it.
I can see like it like repeat viewings. Like now that I've seen the whole thing from start to finish.
Right.
Maybe I can grow to like it. Cause there are some parts that are really, that I was like, oh, that's funny. I wish the whole movie was like this, but
I think this one was probably hindered for all of us by watching it separately.
Yeah. Now, I will say, if you're somebody who bitches about Cage, this is probably the one that you're going to have the most bitch about. Because he's dialed up the whole time.
This is what you show another director. This is why you need to keep a rein on Cage.
Yep.
Yeah, but you know, what would it have been otherwise? Because I still don't know exactly what they were going for. It's advertised almost like it's some kind of a sex comedy, which it's not. It's not a horror movie. I mean, really, it's just a movie about a mental breakdown. That's the only way you can really describe this.
Spoilers, Dan.
No, I mean, it's interpretive. Some people wouldn't agree with that. I mean, but it is based. That's basically what this is.
I took it more for a comedy.
Yeah. I think that's what it was trying to be.
I mean, if you find it funny when he just casually confesses to his shrink about a rape, I mean, there's not a lot that's funny, per se. I mean, maybe to us, some of it's funny. When he tries to, when he gives the ABCs speech to her.
Oh, my God.
ABC.
It's like you're watching, like, is he going to do the whole thing? Is he going to stop? Holy shit, he did the whole thing.
Now do the numbers. We got time.
Oh, man. And yeah, I mean, like, you certainly never feel bad for him. I can get it if you totally hate this movie. I don't hate it, but I'm a Cage fan. If you don't give two shits about Cage, I'll be honest with this one, I don't know who I recommend it to.
Yeah.
It really is, I think, just for fans.
This would not be one of my recommendations, even like if I know they're a Cage fan. I think if you know about this movie, you're good. That's
yeah.
about it.
And yeah, I mean, the whole thing is just him pretty much being a dick to his secretary. There's not a lot of story to it.
I mean, if she would have did her fucking job to begin with, we'd probably have less of a movie, but...
When he goes into the club too with those fangs,
that was my favorite part. When the negotiation of price amongst the fucking teeth.
I really need to see you now. yeah, man. If you haven't seen it, it might be one you just have to experience. If you're lucky enough to still get the Blu-ray, it's on a double bill with High Spirits, which is a little more of a straightforward, you know, kind of supernatural comedy that you might enjoy more. I will also say there is a commentary with Cage and the director on this, which you should definitely listen to. It might give you more insight for, because a lot of you are just going to think, what the hell did I just watch?
Well, now I have to revisit it because I do want to hear them talk.
Yeah.
One thing I will say about Cage, for a guy who at least from the mid-90s through the early 2000s was in one of the most famous actors in the world. I mean, he was on top of the world at that point. I've never heard anything bad about working with him. He gives his all. I think he genuinely loves... the art of acting. I mean, go look at his Oscar speech. This guy likes what he does, and he's committed. I see why people still put him in movies. And yeah, I respect the guy. I always enjoy his work. Having said that, I'm giving a realistic review for this. 2.5. Because, I do not know to very, very small group of people to recommend this to. You exist, but it's a very small group. What say you guys?
Todd, do you want to go?
I'm a 2. I can't realistically give it any higher.
All right.
So,
well, the reason why I had my shock face, because once again, I got played by Dan, because I'm going to give it a 2.5 because I thought you were going to be all over this movie. But yeah, it's just fine. It could be a 3 on a good day.
I see, and I think it's a little bit under average. So
you haven't seen anything like it. There is,
and that's why I gave it a 2. I don't hate it. I don't love it. I was literally sitting there like, what the fuck am I watching? So
maybe this movie would be better with some enhancements.
I can tell you it was.
You know what I'll tell you would be great for the reboot? I want Todd in the Cage role and Alexandra Daddario in the secretary role.
All right, I'm down with that.
I watched that. I'll sell you some teeth, Todd.
No, I have to go buy my own.
I at the store.
Oh, okay. Todd calling up his shrink. I did something bad. Covered in blood. All right, so our last film for this show, for part one, is Con Air from director Simon West. And, of course, I think most of you have heard of this, but a prison parolee, played by Cage, on his way to freedom faces impossible odds when the maximum security transport plane he's on is skyjacked by the 10 most vicious criminals in the country. Experience death-defying stunts and mind-blowing special effects. And well, then it tempts the Blu-ray. You get the idea. All right. So, man, I forgot how many people are in this movie. We get early Dave Chappelle. We've got Danny Trejo as Johnny 23. And I feel 23. Like Todd saw it in a theater. If Todd were in this movie, he's like 23. Todd rips his shirt off and it's like he's covered in like tattoos from head.
Matthew McConaughey in Wolf of Wall Street. You gotta get those numbers up, boy.
Todd 2033. oh man. This is like a master class of actors. I mean, Steve Buscemi.
Okay, I thought you were going to say of acting, so I'm cool with actors.
Actors. Yeah, well, both. I'm going to give it to them both. Buscemi, yes. Man, that was tense in the theater.
I have always wanted a spinoff movie. I want to know the Garland Green story.
Oh, my God, so bad.
Film the fuck out of that. It is not too late.
It's the story of a man who murdered children and then went to Vegas.
You end it with the fucking him wearing the girl's hat over three states. Come on.
I'm just going to say this now. This is proof in the 90s. Thank you, Jerry Bruckheimer, that cocaine was still a thing. I do not doubt that. R.I.P. Jerry Bruckheimer.
Man. Oh. All right. Start sucking away, Pugs.
I think I should go last. Let's let Todd go.
Yeah. What's your beef, Todd?
This was the head of beef.
Greatest.
Well,
movie
if you time. If you watch this movie and you do not see what's wrong with it, there's something wrong with you. That said, all those things are what makes it awesome.
Except that.
It's funny because like this era of stuff I can't do. Like I don't think I could still deal with Armageddon because that's just a piece of shit. Yes, I'm sorry. It is.
I love Animal Crackers. Do you not have a romantic bone in your body?
That scene, not Buscemi. Fucking firing a big ass machine gun.
I don't know. Maybe I'll rewatch that again. I'm still getting over the Criterion Collection putting that out.
Insane. When this movie is right here,
I would argue for Con Air over Armageddon.
Well, okay. Yeah. I'd give you that.
So the redemption is. Well, okay, I'm gonna still talk about the first time I saw it because I didn't go to the theater for this because 90s action was not, it wasn't. There's still a lot of garbage out there. Whatever you think about this one, could not take it serious the first time I saw it because all I could hear was, "Is this a sequel to Raising Arizona? Why is he doing this voice?" Which we did later find out there's like two voices Nicolas Cage has, so. This is his accent. It doesn't matter what accent it is. This is it. Yeah. That said, it's a bunch of weird fucking. Oh my God. I fucking love it now, though. It's like it worked. It's just so over the top and so fucking out there. Because, if you're watching the ending to this movie and you're not just like, okay, this is a spectacle movie, that's what this is. No argument about it. And it's aged where it's really entertaining for me. Like, I'd already watch this one again. That's how much.
You couldn't do it now. I mean, the Dave Chappelle's line about scalping, then the racist guard who, like, just kept going like with these different lines. I was like, holy shit, I forgot about this.
I disagree with Dan. I know he thinks the world's changed where there's going to be no racism anymore. That's a nice thought, but it's going to be there still. Don't worry. You'll still get to hear what you like.
In a movie, Todd.
In a movie. You'll still hear it. Everyone may be a little sick.
We'll come back around. It's a boomerang. We're all sensitive right now. Well, not we, but like it's sensitive out there right now. It will toughen up. They'll get just tired of that shit.
Just like that. Oh, I'm not going to go there. Let's just say people have a flavor of the week. We'll go with that. They're super behind one thing, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, now let's care about something else. So,
yeah, but if you're under 30, you're kind of a puss. But most, not everybody, but
how old are you, Dan?
I'm 34, fool.
If you're under 35, you're kind of a puss.
Screw you, Todd.
Sorry, Bugs.
That's all right.
I was just fucking with him. This movie's perfect. I want Cage's hair. I want his fucking hair. I want to bring that shit back. It's the best like action movie hair you've got.
Dude, his hair mixed with the wind and the fucking guitar sound, like it's fucking magic. Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, and you know the action's great too. I mean the ending on the you know the fire truck scene and everything. I mean this movie doesn't let up. And you know, just back to stuff you couldn't do, the slap to the one character that you definitely are not gonna have.
Well, you don't treat women like that.
Yeah. There were lines in this that were just wow, I forgot. And I mean Colm Meaney from Deep Space Nine with his car. That scene still cracks me up. I remember seeing this in the theater and just like I doing backflips, moonsaults. I could hit like probably 10 in a row. I was just so into this movie. Were you disappointed? Minor spoilers, of course. This movie's 23 years old. That Buscemi didn't go a different route at the end there.
Do you know if you watched it on TV, they cut the wave out, so it looks like he might have.
Can you imagine like Leatherface in the casino there at the end, like just throwing the dice? A little too dark even for 97, I believe this was. They don't make them like this anymore, man. Like I mean just action in general, this one thrills, it makes you laugh, it's so hilarious too, and John Malkovich,
Cyrus the Virus.
Yes, I wish. I look at this one and is like, how did we not get Con Air 2, or just have him like taking his family like on I don't know a cruise or something, get Cage's under siege out there or just something. They could have just totally ripped off and Die Hard 3 and have like a relative come after him like on a boat. Or something, man.
I would be there.
So,
like you, Dan, I saw this movie in the theater. And I think we were in middle school at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I could not believe my eyes and how much fun I was having. I like everybody. Cameron Poe is a fucking hero. And all these villains, I like even more. But I want Cameron Poe to kick all their fucking asses. So hard, because all he's trying to do is get home to his fucking wife and his daughter, and he was incarcerated for, like, it was not his fault.
I'm going to say this real quick. No, yes. Real quick. This movie had an uphill battle. When you kill the hero off in the first 5 minutes, I was almost tuned out. So, come on. You kill Chaos and expect me not to be pissed?
I think my favorite going back also is like put down the bunny. I can't do a good Cage, but And then she didn't want it. I was like, what the hell?
The one piece of recasting I would do would be Cusack.
Really?
He's fine. He's like a non...
He doesn't have anything to do.
He's my MacGuffin. So, he moves the story along.
He needed to be someone with more of a personality when you got Cusack, when you got Cage and... when you got Cage and Malkovich, you definitely... Yeah, see, Travolta would have... Yeah.
I absolutely love this movie. I can recite a lot of it. And when I read comic books, or at least when I don't have much time anymore, but like I used to listen to this soundtrack because it was like, it's pretty fucking metal. It's just everything about this movie I absolutely love. When I was younger, I didn't recognize any of the flaws. I'm like, you're all on crack. This movie's gold.
Yeah.
As I've gotten older and like, you know, you learn more about film and stuff. I'm like, oh, well, that don't make any sense. Well, that's kind of bad. But I forgive it all because I just love this movie too damn much. And again, Garland fucking Green. He looked even cooler than Hannibal Lecter being shuffled off the big ass truck. And then it's these little skinny dude. Big old fucking eyes. Yeah. Fucking love this movie. I can watch the movie anytime.
He doesn't have a lot of dialogue, but even when he's like just sitting there telling that story to those stories to Cage and everything, I can't remember what he said back to him. Like, just, can you stop? Or just
when Cage, when he's comparing him, he's like, "Why not? Don't compare me to you. I'm nothing like you." Some shit like that. I absolutely adore this movie. I can praise this movie all day long. What part do you want to talk about? Because I'll start just going off.
I like when Cage, and we really didn't get it, which was interesting, but Cage trying to turn Ving Rhames against Malkovich, which really didn't work.
It's your barbecue, and it tastes good. You know which part's really fucking badass, though? Like, I'll give you two scenes. The three essays surrounding Nicolas Cage at gunpoint. Cusack with the freeze. Fucking roundhouses. All these motherfuckers puts them all down. And Cusack just goes. And then this motherfucker goes, I'm going to save the fucking day. You go get him, Poe. You go get him. That one. And then when his boy Bubba Gump is on the ground, like, I don't know if God exists. I'm going to show you God does exist. And then, like, he's whooping. He's on the earth. Didn't give a fuck. He starts fucking everybody up. Movie's hard, dude. Fuck yeah. And then
I will tell you, if I was in middle school and I saw this, I would be sucking this movie's dick too.
I'm telling you. And then, like, okay, so Nicolas Cage gets, like, he's off the plane, he's safe. Spoilers, but you should watch the movie anyway. But this motherfucker Cyrus threatened his daughter. Okay, this motherfucker said he's gonna kill my daughter. I'm gonna go after him. And then randomly he gets on a police officer's bike with the key already in it, and then Cusack comes in his khakis, and that scene's hilarious and awesome. And we don't get Swamp Thing doesn't get enough love. Like, he was a bad guy, but he wasn't really. I kind of wanted him to live.
Yeah.
Oh, and Dave Chappelle, best role he's ever done. Best thing he's ever done. My opinion.
Yeah. I forget he disappears like a third way through. I was bummed.
Yeah.
all because
and I will argue for Thurgood Jenkins, motherfucker.
All because he was trying to get some ass. I mean, he just
you're the sexiest thing I've seen in about 5 to 10. What about the line? Your mouth smells like someone's shit in it. He told me he loved me. Sorry, Coachies. Yeah, man. It's fucking gold. Oh, the one part where I do cringe at still is in the beginning when Nicolas Cage and Bubba Gump are talking. And he's like, oh, out of nowhere, he goes full Cage. I'm going home, son! Okay. Rain it in.
You don't want to rein him in something like this, man. Put Cage in everything. Just cast him in everything. I'm a 5 all the way on this one. This is perfect. one of the greatest.
Five, I would.
Five.
All right. One of the greatest action movies.
This is a big. This is a big turnaround for me too, because I used to not like this movie.
I'm glad you did. You came around, man. This is hell yes.
Well, yeah, because you're old. We came up on this one, and you didn't, obviously. So you know.
You know what, Dan? I may be old, but. Better. Okay. If you don't know what I said, I know how to use my fucking mute button. And then I talk some other shit that I'm glad I muted myself. So.
Yeah, but you got like, you could have deaf people that can read lips that are just going to complain about what you just said.
Then there was an Easter egg.
Come on.
For all of our deaf listeners too.
Fuck you, Todd.
Nothing. No response. He doesn't get the problem with that. Okay.
Your deaf accent is terrible.
And if Marley Matlin.
If anyone out there knows why Dan not getting the fact that deaf listeners couldn't. Yeah, just.
Well, I'm saying they can still read your lips.
I said our deaf listeners.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. But Con Air, man. It doesn't matter if you're deaf or mentally handicapped or whatever. You will love Con Air. It's for everybody. This will make the world a better place. Everybody just needs to sing Kumbaya and watch Con Air. Boom. It solves everything. No peace in the Middle East, everything.
I don't know. They do Johnny 23 wrong.
Call me Johnny 300 if they knew the truth. This only goes out to Todd.
Okay, so I'm just going to ask this, and I kind of already know the answer because we're going to wrap this one pretty quick. If you're going to recommend one of the three Cage movies tonight to someone, which one's it going to be?
Con Air, without a shadow of a doubt. I can't even joke around.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen any of the three, Con Air is probably your sure thing, but yeah.
Then it would be Drive Angry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, Vampire's Kiss is just one of those ones. I mean,
yeah, it's at the bottom. I'm going to go Con Air too. It is like Drive Angry, but I think, yeah, if you've never seen it.
Yeah. Vampire's Kiss is like a mushrooms movie. Like if you God,
that's probably scary.
Yeah. So anyways. All right, guys. Be sure to tune in because we're going to have part two of Nicolas Cage, maybe even part three, four, five, six down the line.
We definitely have part two next week.
Yes. So to stay tuned for that. Also, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. Support us for our early and exclusive content and all the random shit that doesn't fly on YouTube. We appreciate it very much. It all starts at just $1. So, you know, you won't break the bank and you help us out. And here on YouTube, be sure to like, share, and subscribe. We're still new and it really helps. We really appreciate that as well. And, oh, Todd's playing that early, but Facebook, Horror Cartel, Flesh Wound Radio Group, join it, Flesh Wound Features Facebook group, subscribe, and fleshwoundfeatures.com as well. Goodbye!
Sayonara.